This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu, nasta'inuhu, nasta'gfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa salawatuhu wa salamuhu ala afdali khalqillah, ala sayyidina wa habibina rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila ad-din. Alhamdulillah, usikum wa usi nafsi bi taqwa Allahi fi sirri wal alaniya. Inna taqwa Allah ra'su kulli khayr. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran hudan lin-nasi wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal furqan. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the month of Ramadan was sent down as a guidance for humanity and also as a clarification. بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى. In other words, not only the guidance but also the clarification of what the guidance is. So the purpose of Ramadan really... There are many reasons for Ramadan, but the two fundamental purposes are clear in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba 'alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." That fasting was prescribed for you. It was made obligatory for you, just as it was made obligatory for the people before you, that perhaps you might, or happily you might, become people of taqwa. So that's the primary reason, because if you look at the beginning of the Quran, the very first command in the Quran is Ya ayyuhan nas, it's to all of humanity, attaqu rabbakum, like have taqwa of your Lord. That's the first command in the Quran if you take it from the sequence from Al-Fatiha to Nas. The very first command is to humanity, not just to the Muslims. Ya ayyuhan nas, attaqu rabbakum. Alladhi khalaqakum, He created you, so that's a reason why you should be conscientious of Him, aware of Him. And then also want to please Him, like the sun wants to please the source of his material existence, which is the parents. The child wants to please the parents. The created being should want to please his or her creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we ask, what is taqwa? And that's where the bayinat comes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins his book, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So in it is guidance for the people of taqwa. So the book begins by telling you, it has huda, but for whom? The huda is for the people of taqwa. So the Quran is very, very self-explanatory. The best tafsir is tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran, because the Quran will explain itself. It doesn't leave you in the dark. It's kitab mubin. It's a clear manifest book. So that is the primary reason why we have begun fast. But the second reason is a reminder of this huda, which is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obviously in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet's sunnah is bayinatin min al-huda. It's just a clarification of the essential meaning of the Quran. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was come. He came as the nur that you read the book with. Because there's come to you a light and a clear book. The light is what enables you to read the book. You can be in pitch black dark, and if you have a book, you can't read it. You have to have light. So the light that enables us to read the book is the Prophet ﷺ. He is the light that enables us to read the book. But what is the book? The book is the lens that you put on to see the world clearly, because without the Quran, the world is a blurry place. And that's why there's so much confusion. People are in confusion. They're in hayra. You know, hayra. They're in confusion about where they came from, what they should be doing while they're here, and where they're going after they leave this place. They're in confusion. عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنَ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. What are they asking about? نَبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. What is this place? Is there really an afterlife? Are these things true? Those are the people that are thinking. Even the atheists have to think about this. And some of the atheists are the most obsessed people with this question because they spend a great deal of time and effort on this question. But the prophets who came, they came to give the huda to the people, to give taqwa to the people. And so that primary reason of taqwa and then huda and clarification of that huda is to take us back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the Quran walking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the embodiment of the book of Allah. Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the closest people to Allah? And he said, the people that have the most taqwa and the people that have the best character. The people that have the best character. So what is character? Character is an awareness of how you should be human in the world. Character is doing the right thing in the right circumstances. Sometimes it's to be kind. Other times it's to be cruel. You know, they have this slogan here in the aqidah of Ahli Berkeley. They put these aqidah on their front doors. And they say, kindness is everything. Kindness is not everything. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is be harsh in a situation. And that's why there are things in the Sharia that are actually harsh. Because that's the best thing in that situation. Hikmah is distinguishing between that situation and when you should be kind, when you should be harsh. Because there's a time. The Prophet ﷺ was a gentle person, but there are times when he executed very severe orders. Because it was necessary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَةٍ. You have in the lex talionis, in the law of retribution, you have life. Because you can't live in a world where criminals run free and do what they want and don't have any fear of authority. They have to have fear of authority. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَزَعُ بِالسُّلْطَانِ مَا لَا يَزَعُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Allah will prevent with political authority what He will not prevent with the Qur'an itself. You know, and that's why Mary, when the angel came and she didn't know who the angel was, she said, "A'udhu bika min ar-rahim in kunta taqiyya." And this is ishkal in the tafsir, but to me it's very clear. Like, she's reminding that person, are you a person of taqwa? Because this is what people of taqwa do. She didn't know it was an angel. She thought it was a strange man, and she became frightened of the situation. In kunta taqiyya. Taqwa, people of taqwa. So that, what is taqwa? Taqwa is clarified throughout the Qur'an. Taqwa is وَحَاصِرُ taqwa اِشْتِنَابُ وَمُمْتِثَالِ فِي ظَاهِنُ وَبَاطٍ بِهَتُنَاتِ. Like Ibn Ashir says that taqwa, the meaning of taqwa is to obey Allah's commandments and to avoid His prohibitions, God's prohibitions, inwardly and outwardly. Because there's a prohibition against kibr. Kibr is an inward state. It's not an outward act. There's a prohibition of kibr. There's a prohibition of hasad. La hasada illa fi ithnatain. You shouldn't have hasad in your heart. So how do you get rid of these things? Well, there's the outward path, which is called the sharia. And then there's the inward path, which traditionally they called the tariqah, the inward path to God. You have the outward path, which is the sharia. That is going to take care of all your outward problems. If you obey the sharia, you will not get into trouble. If you're not with the opposite sex alone, with somebody that you do not have any mahramiya or any rights over, you're not going to get into trouble. You get the elevator, there's somebody in there from the opposite sex, you just wait for the next elevator with as two people or three people. That's sharia. So that will protect you. The sharia is basically, if you reduce it down to the fundamental, it's the ibadat, which are basically doing those outward things, the five pillars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu khamsakum wa sumu shahrakum wa addu zakata amwarikum." He didn't mention hajj in this hadith, but in another hadith he mentions it. Wa ati'u dha amrin minkum, and obey political authority over you. تَدْخُلُ جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ. Right? You will enter the paradise of your Lord. If you do those things, that's an outward thing. Like the Bedouin who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, let me, if I heard I only have to pray, fast Ramadan, pay zakat, make the hajj.
you know, say shahada. Is that all I have to do? He said, that's all you have to do. He said, wallahi, I won't do anything else except that. And he left. The Prophet said, qadaflaharrawaytul in sadaq. He'll be successful. If he's truthful in what he said, he'll be successful. Lo himma, but it'll get you through. Right? وَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. All it is to just be removed from the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ let people do a very minimum amount. And that's the path of just salvation. But then there's a higher path, which is the path of sanctification. People that want to get close to Allah, to want to know Allah, to have ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. That inward path is an arduous path. It's a difficult path. It's a path filled with pitfalls. But if you follow it, you will get the results, because all science has to be replicable. All science has to be falsifiable. If you do it and keep doing it, you get the same result. If not, if you falsify that result one time, first you have to check your instruments and everything, but if you get more than one, two, three, you realize that's not accurate. The spiritual path is the same. We have centuries of people. Imam al-Ghazali is Hujjatul Islam. Why? He proved Islam himself, in his own self. He's a proof. People who knew him as the arrogant, brilliant scholar that could win every debate, and then they saw his spiritual transformation, ending up being somebody who was completely humbled. People went to see him that couldn't believe that he'd changed. But he took the path, and he took it seriously. He couldn't talk. He went into a spiritual crisis. He couldn't even talk. He was so worried because he saw all the faults in himself. The Prophet ﷺ said that you had to be makhmum al-qalb. Makhmum al-qalb. And they asked him, mal makhmum al-qalb, ya Rasulullah? He said, attaqi al-naqi. Attaqi al-naqi. La bughda fi qalbi wa la hasada. It's a taqi, it's a person of taqwa. So outwardly he's muttaqi, but inwardly he's naqi. So it's taqi wa naqi. He's done the outward work and he's done the inward work. Makhmum, the Arabs, they say, khamamtu al-bayt, kanastu al-bayt. I swept the house out. Makhmum al-qalb is maknus al-qalb. The heart has been swept. One of them, he said, that we naknisu anfusana bi arwahina. We sweep ourselves with our souls. Because you have the higher self and you have the lower self. And Ramadan is a time to do this work. Because what are the two fundamental things in the mu'amalat? The two biggest problems you have outwardly. Not inwardly. The two biggest problems you have outwardly. What are the two biggest problems you have outwardly? The Prophet ﷺ said, من وقى اثنين دخل ولج الجنة. Whoever protects himself from two things, ولج الجنة, he will enter paradise. Uluj, خير المولج. When you come into your bait, you ask for خير المولج. So he said ولج, he will enter paradise. And then they asked him, what were those two things? And he was silent. And then they asked him again, he was silent. And he waited a time, because this is a way that a teacher will put into the hearts a desire to find something. It's like these things they write to get you to read the article, right? What is it? What are those two things? You get even more curious if they don't tell you right away. What are those two things? They asked him again, what are those two things? And then he said, whoever protects what's between his two jaws, fakkay, warijlay, walajal jannah. Whoever protects his tongue and his genitals, he will enter paradise. What is fasting? Al imsak. The imsak in the Quran that Zakariya he swore was to not speak. That was his psalm. We don't have that psalm in our tradition. But the point of that is imsak. Imsak an al-maharim. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever fasts and doesn't leave telling lies and backbiting, Allah has no need of his fast. Allah has no need of his fast. So what's the point of the fast? Guarding the tongue? And that's why it's very easy, because most people don't backbite in Ramadan unless they're really pathetic. You know. But most Muslims, they suddenly get aware they're fasting and they stop. Right? And there's aid, there's spiritual aid. Shaitan's, the marada are locked up. So there's spiritual aid in that. But why is that tadrib? What is the madrasa? What's the school that we're in Ramadan? It's the school of learning to control yourself. And then what is the shahwa? The shahwa comes from food. Without food, there's no shahwa. Starving people aren't thinking about, you know, they're not thinking about appetites. They're thinking about food. That's all they want. Starving people are thinking about food. They're not thinking about anything else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Asiyamu li wa ana ajzi bihi." Allah is the only one that doesn't need food. He is samad. He has no need. We need food. So breaking the nafs, it's called kasr al-shahwatain. Abu Hamid al-Ghazali has a whole book in the Ihya about breaking the two desires, the batan and the farj. So the tongue, the batan, and the farj. This is Ramadan. It's learning to discipline your soul. But the other thing is returning back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the guidance is in the book. And one of the things that's very clear in the Muslim ummah, for anybody that looks at our conditions now, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرَانَ مَحْجُورًا. My people have abandoned this book. The practice of the book of Allah, the spiritual insights that the book gives you, the understanding of the book of Allah, our community has lost it, because they become divorced from the Quranic worldview. And the Quranic worldview is in the Quran, but it takes time. It takes work to actually learn it. It's learned in the Aqidah. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Dhar, لِيَنْ تَغْدُوَ فَتَعَلَّمَ آيَةً مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. To wake up in the morning and learn one ayah from the book of Allah, خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنْ مِيَةِ رَكَعَ. It's better than 100 rak'at. Because your devotion without knowledge is not, it's just not, it doesn't have a lot of traction. He said to learn one ayah is better than to learn, to pray 100 rakats. And then he said, لِيَنْ تَغْدُوَ فَتَعَلَّمَ بَابًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْعِلْمِ يُعْمَرُ بِهِ أَوْ لَا يُعْمَرُ بِهِ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنْ أَلْفِ رَكَعَ. To wake up and learn one section of knowledge is better for you than to pray 1,000 rakats, whether that knowledge is theoretical or whether it's practical. In other words, like aqidah, you practice aqidah in your understanding, but it's not ma'mu bihi. It's not something you do. So you learn fiqh. You learn how to pray properly. You learn how to worship Allah properly. You learn how to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of us. And then you learn to understand how to perceive the world. So the Quran is the lens with which you look at the world through. Without it, you're blind. Or it's all opaque, you're blurred. So there's spectacles that you have to put on and see the world through the Quranic worldview. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ was teaching us. He said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Take this book of Allah. خُذَ الْكِتَابِ قُوَّةِ. Take this book seriously. It needs study. You have to study it. The Muslims, they keep it on the top shelf, almost out of reach. But take it down, open it, read it. That's what Quran, it's coming back to the book of Allah. Coming back to the book of Allah. And then wondering why you left it during the rest of the year. Because people experience the difference, the qualitative difference between this month and the rest of the 11 months. If you don't, then you have to work on your iman. Because it's very evident. It's very evident for any serious Muslim, the qualitative difference between the day before Ramadan and the day of Ramadan is very striking. Time, even the dilation of time, the experience of time dilation. You're getting more done, you need less sleep. Things are different. Experience is different. So this is really, really, a month to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring us. Also the hearts. You know, makhmum al-qalb. You know, a swept heart. because there's just a lot of حقد in our community. There's a lot of حسد, you know, and people won't admit حسد. They'll never admit حسد. It's human nature. They will not admit حسد. But there's a lot of حسد in our community. There's حسد for people that are successful. There's حسد for people that have things that you don't have, that you want. I mean, Imam Zayd told me that when he lived in one of the Muslim countries, he said people used to sneak new furniture into their house after midnight because they were so worried about the Ayn. I'm not making that up. I had, there was a brother from Syria. He worked at one of the internet companies, and he did something which was huge. He invented something. He got a patent. And he said what struck him, he told me this. He said what really struck him was, he said all the people that were here, you know, they were all like high-fiving him and saying, way to go. And they were really, he said the Muslims in the group, he said none of that. He said he could see the envy in their faces. That's a disease, hasad. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he said the disease of umam will creep up on you. It will creep up on you. Da'ul umam. Dabba ilaykum da'ul umam. Al-hasdu wal-baghda. Like envy and just animosity towards other people. Because the believer has a pure heart. He goes out to people with a pure heart. He doesn't have those diseases in his heart. And if he does, he works on them. He struggles with them. There's a matarat al-qulub. That's why he wrote that book. Ihya Ulum al-Din is filled with these meanings. Imam al-Ghazali filled his book with how to work on yourself, how to purify yourself. We have a whole tradition, but you have to practice it. You can read all day long. You can become a great scholar, quote all these other scholars. You can do that. But if you don't work on your heart, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what is the benefit? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That's the qalb al-makhmum, the sound heart. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And that's what this month is about. It's about reorient ourselves, getting back to our orientation. We're facing Mecca, the house of Allah. That's the physical house that you make a journey to, but there's a spiritual house. It's called Darul Akhirah. It's the abode of the afterlife. U'iddat lilmuttaqeen. It was made for the people of taqwa. Because rahmatullah wasi'at kulla shay, but he said sa'aktubuha lilladheena yattaqoon. You know, the people of taqwa, the people who pray, the people who fast, the people who pay their zakat, the people that make the pilgrimage if they're able to. These are the people that get close to Allah. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. Alhamdulillah for this blessed month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a month of openings for us in our inner worlds and in our outer worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the peace of this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the hearts are only made tranquil with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a month when we should increase our dhikr, but hopefully try to maintain it after the month closes. But dhikr Allah is what's necessary to be aligned with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sidi Ahmad Zarruq says that if the true believer is content with whatever Allah sends him or her. And we're living in a very strange time. A lot of disruptions, a lot of instability, also distraction, immense amount of distraction. And so it's very important that people just align with their Lord, be aligned with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then come what may, that you'll be prepared for whatever comes, because we don't know what's coming. But there are very ominous clouds. There are very ominous clouds, and we don't have wise people running the world. They're not wise people. They're venal people. They're very corrupt people. And they don't really have a lot of concern for the vast majority of people. But we have nobody to blame, and not individually, but as an ummah, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, there's the ship of humanity, we're all on it. And he said that the people who who are people of Sharia, who they should be on top governing the ship. And Muslims once were. They were. And it was a much better situation. But the Prophet ﷺ said the people below, they'll want, instead of having water given to them by the people above, they'll say, let's just drill a hole in the hole so we can get water for ourselves. We don't have to have them give us the water, right? And so they drilled a hole, and then the Prophet said they all drowned. So this is the crisis. We don't have sovereignty as people of God, as people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that case, we're just mustada'afin, you know, we're people that are weak. But there's a strength in weakness, because when you're weak, you know, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When you're powerful, you can become deluded, thinking that the power is yours. But when you're weak, you know, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And that's a great power. So نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى وأن يجعل هذا الشهر مغفرة لنا وعتقا لنا من النار. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يخفف عن المسلمين, يخفف عن أهل تركيا إن شاء الله وأهل الزلازل, والله سبحانه وتعالى يخفف عن إخواننا وأخواتنا في فلسطين وفي كشمير وفي العراق وفي ليبيا وفي اليمن وفي كل مكان حيث يعانون من المصائب والبلايا. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يردنا إلى ديننا مردا جميلا, ويجعلنا من أهل القرآن, ويجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي والذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوار والآفات, وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات, وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات, وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات, وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. واذكروا الله يذكركم, واشكروه ولا تكفرون, واقيموا الصلاة.